Thank you, Mr. West Tuttle, getting us into a wonderful mood to study the Word of God. Let's open the Scriptures to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Lala, how you doing this morning? Both of our classes on Sunday morning are crucial classes. One of the great problems in Christianity around the world is a failure of understanding Scripture, and therefore failure of understanding sin, salvation, forgiveness, and so many different people have so many different erroneous ideas. It's because they don't know how to think clearly. So let's begin with a word of prayer as we move into one of the most important chapters in the Bible dealing with our daily life, how we think, how we see Scripture, the power and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Now, Father, Your Spirit has divinely inspired the writers of Scripture. Your Spirit has preserved these manuscripts. The Holy Spirit oversaw the compilation of the ones that would be in the Bible. And now, Heavenly Father, we pray for the illuminating ministry of the Spirit to open our eyes to the truth that You would have us to see. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Now, just to begin with, if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, what we're dealing with here. And thy brethren could not speak to you as spiritual, but as men of flesh, as to babes in Christ. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you were not yet able to receive it. Indeed, even now, you are not able, for you are still fleshly, living in the flesh. For since there is jealousy and strife among you, you are not fleshly, and you are not walking like mere men. Now, what we're dealing with is the meat of Scripture here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So, first thing I want to do is let's just go over where we left off last week and just hit these various aspects of what we learn about the Holy Spirit in just 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. First, in verse 4 and 5, the Holy Spirit is the object of our faith as believers, very clearly taught. Secondly, the message that Paul, we teach, must always be in the power of the Holy Spirit, never in our own abilities, verse 4. 3, the Holy Spirit is the power of God, verses 4 and 5. 4, God reveals hidden mysteries and all He has prepared by means of or through the Holy Spirit. It's the only way He's going to reveal Him to us. It's through the Holy Spirit. Verse 10. 5. The Holy Spirit and only the Holy Spirit searches all things. Verse 10. The Holy Spirit searches the depths of God. Verse 10. The Holy Spirit knows the thoughts of God. Verse 11. 8. We have received the Holy Spirit out from God, verse 12. 9, we were given the Holy Spirit by God the Father so that we might know the things freely given to us by God, verse 13, or verse 12. And in point 10, we are taught by God the Holy Spirit, not by our human wisdom, verse 13. So we have 10 things that we've learned about the Holy Spirit, and we're not even through with the chapter yet. Now, this morning, we resume 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's read verse 10, and then we'll start looking at verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 10. For to us, God revealed them, the things that He has prepared for those who love Him, through or by means of the Holy Spirit. And why? For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. Now, let's look at verse 12. Excuse me a moment. Mark, I sure am glad to see you, because I was just going to invade your privacy this afternoon and just call and see where you were, if you're okay. Very good. All right, that's bona fide. At least you weren't at home sacked out. Good morning, Martha. Okay, verse 12. Now, we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, because the things that God has prepared will not be known by the spirit of the world. But, and then you take the verb, we have received the Spirit who is from God, the Holy Spirit. Now, in this passage, there are many other reasons in other passages, but in this passage, why did we receive the Holy Spirit? In order that we might know the things freely given to us by God. So, people, we have the ministry of the Holy Spirit in divinely inspiring the writers of Scripture, preserving the Scripture, accumulation of the books of being the Bible, and, of course, now the illumination. Now, verse 13, this is where we left off. Which things? Now, these things He has prepared for us, verse 9, He has freely given to us, verse 12, and then I love to add, for our glory, verse 7. That just startles me, that it's for our glory. And it usually is for the glory of Christ, for the glory of God. That to me is just an unbelievable statement in Scripture. For our glory in verse 7. So, verse 13, which things we also speak. Now, this is directly speaking about Paul and the apostles. Not in words or concepts taught by human wisdom. Human wisdom is incapable. But, contrast, in those concepts taught by the Holy Spirit. Now, question. How does the Holy Spirit teach us all that God has prepared and freely gives to us? This is the confusing last line in verse 13. Look what it says. Combining spiritual, and then you'll note that thoughts is in italics, with spiritual, and words is in italics. So what is being said here is of crucial importance. Now the King James says, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. The NIV, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. I'm just showing you how confusing this is, and what different scholars have done with all of these things. So the NASV, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. The King James, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. The NIV, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words, with truths and words in italics. Now, Rotherham, who is an excellent Bible, it's a real thick Bible, he's done excellent work, what he says, by spiritual words, spiritual things, explaining. Now, one thing I do want to point out here is, if you... Why aren't this on the board? Why didn't anybody tell me? No. Well, what do y'all think I've been doing? All right. Okay. They're the haymakers. Oh, let's see here. Come on. Because this is important. This is very important to understanding this passage. There we go. There's that. Kind of. Yeah, it's kind of nervous. If you're having trouble, read that. Contact Jim Passmore and get an eye checkup.
Ha 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 ha!
satisfied? Well, we're having problems. You can? I can't even read that. All right. There we go. Well, let me just continue. And if this comes on, that'll be great. What do you think the problem is? Because it was on there earlier. Is everything plugged in? All right. Okay. The NASB says, New American Standard, combining spiritual with spiritual, thoughts and words in italics. King James says comparing spiritual things with spiritual. NIV expressing spiritual. Now the Rotherham Bible does something interesting, and I wish we had it on the board, so just listen. What he says, by spiritual words, spiritual things, explaining. Now the point here is that he puts the verb at the end. And that is correct in the Greek manuscript. The verb is at the end. And giving the emphasis as to the work of the Holy Spirit in dealing with the spiritual things. Okay, it looks like it's not going to come on. And okay, well, while they're doing it, now, what happens is the things that we're talking about, whether you translate it, combining, comparing, or expressing, or explaining. Combining, comparing, expressing, or explaining. This is what occurs inside of every one of us when we're filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, what we're looking at here is, you'll see, the NASB says combining spiritual with spiritual. We don't have the whole picture. And then the King James says comparing spiritual with spiritual. The NIV says expressing spiritual with spiritual. Rotherham says by spiritual words, spiritual things, explaining. Now, we'll take a look at all of these different issues, but what I want you to see. So, what I want you to see is, first of all, simple little things, the different translation, combining, comparing, expressing, explaining. The verbs here at the beginning, this verb's at the end, and this is the more closer to the manuscripts. But what is happening, whatever way we're going to take this, this occurs inside of every one of us when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Okay, now, what I want to do next, by the way, these, let me see if I can go back here. These words right here that you have, combining, comparing, expressing, explaining, they're all one Greek word. There are only three Greek words in this whole phrase. Three Greek words. We have the noun pneumatikos from the verb pneuma, spirit. And that's followed by an adjective, pneumatikos. And then we have the verb, the present active participle of sugkrino. And that's the word translated with all of these different meanings. Combining, comparing, expressing, explaining. So, all of that is from one verb. Now, all of these present problems. And what is Paul trying to say to us? Now, what I'm going to do now is go through and show you some multitude of various lexicons, Greek dictionaries, on the words that are the way these are translated. So here's the main verb, combining, should be at the end, but combining spiritual with spiritual. There's nothing here. I'm just taking it the way it is in the raw Greek. Now, another way of looking at all of these, I don't know how to have them just come up by column and all that, so we're doing it this way. Comparing. And then some people put spiritual thoughts with spiritual forms. Others say expressing. Spiritual things. Another one, communicating. See, now we've added a different word. Combining, comparing, communicating truths with spiritual. Another word is teaching. Spiritual words. Explaining. Given content. Spiritual given content with spiritual men. Interpreting. Now, what is Paul trying to say in all of these different translations? Okay, what we're going to do, I'm going to take you through a little fun this morning. People were in the meet. You're eating now Chateaubriand, T-bone steak, good stuff. And so we're going to find out what is going on in this passage that causes so many different translations, so many different misunderstandings. Now, the first thing, and I put this on the board just so you can follow my train of thought in all of this. First, let's take a look at the English translation of the words at the beginning. In the Greek manuscripts, this verb follows the two words meaning spiritual. And we have combining, comparing, expressing, and for the record, other translations, communicating, teaches, explains, and in the margin of the New American Standard, you have the word right here that we're going to be using, interpreting. Interpreting. Okay, we'll see what that there, how that fits into everything as we go along in all of this. Now, all of these are dealing with the present active participle of the Greek word sug, S-U-G, krino, K-R-I-N-O. It's a compound word made up of a prepositional prefix sug, which means together, and the root krino, which means to judge, to evaluate, to make assessment. Okay, let me just walk you. Yes. You betcha. I can go back a whole bunch. You betcha. Those are just different things. They combining spiritual with spiritual. Some say spiritual thoughts. Some say spiritual things. Some say spiritual truths. Some say spiritual words. Some say spiritual given content with spiritual forms, spiritual things, spiritual words, spiritual men. And I want you to notice, as we build our case, I want you to notice this is the only one that deals with a being. These all deal with concepts. This is the only one that deals with the idea of a spiritual being at play here. This is going to be very important as to how we're going to see what Paul is trying to say. Okay? All right. Now, let's take a look at the English. And all these are present of Sucrino. Now, what I'm going to do is just take you quickly through some boring lexicons, dictionaries, Greek, and just have a little fun. Now, I'm only going to go through two or three of them. I looked through about eight that I have in my office, but these put it together so well. Bauer's Greek lexicon, which is the basic one you use in seminary. Bring together, we're dealing with the verb, translated, to interpret, to compare, to explain. That's the word we're looking at. Bring together, combine. Giving spiritual truth a spiritual form. Compare. Explain. Interpret. And in this lexicon, they place our passage, 1 Corinthians 2:13, under 1 and 2. Now that's interesting. They don't usually do that. They pick out one. But they put our passage, 1 Corinthians 2:13, under 1, which is one was combined, giving spiritual truth, spiritual form, and 2, compare. Showing that it, by definition, fits both of those concepts. Okay? Zodiates. Zodiates is a lexicon that I really like. And this is the one I have ordered for your father, Mark. And because of the work that he does. He's a Greek. He's now home with the Lord. But he's a brilliant scholar. And did brilliant work on his various Bible study workbooks and lexicons. Old Testament and New, but he was probably a genius in Greek. Zodiates says complete word study dictionary, out of his complete word study dictionary, to judge, to join together, to combine, to compose, comparing one thing with another, noting similarities and differences. So the scholars are we're all dealing with these words. How are we going to come up with what Paul is trying to say? Now, the New Testament Greek English Dictionary, join together, this is in about 8 volumes, join together, compare, interpret, evaluate. They say in classical literature, meaning to combine or bring into combination. So, kind of think with me now as we build our what Paul is saying. We have something here, and we're going to combine it with something here. So what is being combined, joined together, and the process of what Paul is saying is the work of the Holy Spirit. Combine or bring into combination, to compare, rarely to interpret, but it does mean that, judicial use, to render a decision in a case. Now, this set of volumes says in the Septuagint, the Hebrew word to interpret or solve. Now, volume 3 of Kittel. Kittel is a fundamental basic series of lexicons. It's about 10 or 12 volumes, reach about this thick, and they'll tell you more than you ever wanted to know about anything. So here's the volume 3 of Kittel. Slow down with me and let's listen, because this is going to be good. In the New Testament, the word itself, sukrino, is found only in 1 Corinthians 2:13 and 2 Corinthians 10:12. It is the antonym of diakrino. Ours is sukrino, diakrino, which means to separate. So our word is the opposite of separating, bringing together. It is used in various ways. So let's take a look. A, to unite, to compound. B, to compare. C, to measure, to evaluate. D, to interpret. At 2 Corinthians 10:12, which is not our passage, but let's see what he says. It means to compare with the suggestion that what is to be compared is in some sense of equal value. Now, he points out this in his passage. Paul is ironically rejecting the idea that he can even be compared with the arrogant pseudo-apostles in 11:13. Paul alleges that they compare themselves only with themselves and measure themselves only by themselves, so that they are not aware of their own spiritual poverty. Okay? Continuing. In 1 Corinthians 2:13, this is our passage, difficult to construe. That's what he says. That's why we're taking this time. I'm just showing you this is not an easy task we're going through. It's difficult to construe. They develop in some way the thought that Paul proclaims revelations, and there's one of the key words, proclaims revelations, given by the Spirit, in words taught by the Spirit, the sense to unite, a uniting spiritual given content with spiritual form, is not very likely. Do you see what he said? He's saying that some of those translations are not really what's going on in the text. So, he's saying, they develop in some way the thought that Paul proclaims revelations given by the Spirit in words taught by the Spirit. The sense to unite, A, uniting Spirit-giving content with Spirit-giving form, is not very likely, since the word unite is too weak. The sense to compare, B, comparing spiritual gifts and revelations, there is no reference here to comparison of different revelations at all. Hence, it is best to accept it to interpret, to expound, to explain. Now, I'm just going to talk with you a moment, how close we're getting to what's going on. We've got the hidden unknown things. We've got a species, born-again believer, who doesn't have it. So some way we're going to have to get this unknown into this creature, this creation. That's what's going on here. So let's take a look again, see if you can follow me. There is no reference, let's see, to combine, compare. All right, let's go to the next. Then Kittel adds a footnote. This is important. That the pneumatika, that's our first word, translated spiritual, need exposition or revelation is shown by the fact that they are the wisdom of God in a mystery, hidden wisdom of verse 7. Then the second word, pneumatikos, is best taken personally as a dative of remote object or spiritual men. And this is what I believe Paul is talking about, and I'll show you why. is taking spiritual phenomenon and revealing it to a spiritual creature. That's the mystery. How's that going to happen? It's a mystery, the spiritual phenomenon, the deep things of God, but how's that going to be revealed to us, a new spiritual creation? That's what is really going to be the great issue in all of this. So, this is where we are in this battle. Now, having said all of that, we stop here, and we're going to search in our search of Kittle, stop at this point, and move on. Now, we have to look, first of all, at the verb. Though we have not concluded just how we're going to translate this rich verb, but we have to look at it and what we're going to do. But the main thing we're going to do now is we're going to take a look at that phrase in your Bibles, spiritual, spiritual. Forget words and thoughts. Just look at the word, English word, spirit that's there, not in italics. Now, the first word in the phrase translated spiritual. In the NASB, they said spiritual thoughts. The second word, spiritual. And there they translated with spiritual words. Okay, what's going on here? Well, and this is what Paul is talking about, what he's teaching. So people, we come to an understanding of the doctrine of inspiration. That's what we're now dealing with, is the doctrine of inspiration. Jim, do you mind taking this back to Mark and Martha? I'd appreciate it. Thank you. Okay. So we're dealing with inspiration. It's been quite a while since we've covered this vital doctrine. One of the main problems, in my opinion, in the church today is a weak view on this book by preachers, theologians, and the average Christian. People, you have to decide for yourself what you believe about this book. Not what the school says, what preachers say. What do you say about this book? And I want to make something very emphatic. If you do not believe in chapters 1 and 2 of this book, then this book will never be the final authority in your life. The source of man, the source of the world, all of these things are in chapters 1 and 2. And if a person says, oh, I believe this, but I don't believe that, you're going to have a very weak view of the Bible. Inspiration of the Bible, the importance of this one view, one's view of inspiration of the Bible, cannot be overemphasized. What's your view of this book? All doctrinal teaching, your acceptance of these doctrines, rest on the authority of the Word of God. The divinely inspired Word of God, a weak, faulty view of inspiration, will lead to dangerous and fatal repercussions in your life. You reject so many things, just simple things. The authority of the husband over the wife in marriage. How often is that just set aside, even ridiculed by people today? Well, if you don't believe in divine inspiration, you can do that. Homosexuality. So many truths that we're just abandoning today and accepting Satan's lies. People, it just comes down to, what is your view of this book? Creation, evolution, the source, where did man come from? So what we're going to do now is, I've given you a little handout, and I've just quickly define some of the more important things in dealing with this important doctrine. And Jim Langston, here's part of our doctrinal statement when it comes to the Bible, right here. Alright, let's just read through this rather quickly because you all have it. Verbal inspiration. We believe in verbal inspiration. God the Holy Spirit guided even the choice of words without interfering with the style or vocabulary of the writers. 1 Corinthians 2:13. It's a work of the Holy Spirit when Paul, Peter, David, anybody sat down and wrote the Holy Scriptures. Secondly, plenary inspiration. We believe that every subject, every portion of every book is divinely inspired. Plenary means full and complete. Therefore, we believe in full and complete inspiration. Whatever the Bible states is accurate. Even the recording of Satan's lies and man's words. It's accurate. So when we call this God's Word, we're not saying everything in it is from God's Word, but it is God telling us exactly what happened in history. What Satan said, what man said, what Job's three friends say, all these things. And people, let me just tell you, you're weak on any of these, you're going to be weak on your stand on the truth. Three, infallible. We believe that the Bible is incapable of error, that it is sure and certain in all that it records. Every statement in the Bible is infallible, and it is infallible in whatever it records. Science, whatever it records. History, it's the truth. And you have to decide for yourself, well, I don't believe that. Well, then there you go. You get to pick and choose now. What you like, what you don't like. People, we've got to have an attitude about this book, and we're losing it in America, losing it in the world. And part of the whole problem in America starts with the view of this book. The accuracy, the authority of this book. Four, inerrant. We believe in absolute inerrancy of the Bible. It is from God, who is veracity. Then it is absolute truth and without error. There is no error in what it reveals about God, when it refers to science, geography, the future, Satan, doctrines, and so on. It's inerrant. The inerrant, infallible, plenary, verbal inspiration of the Bible. Any questions so far? Okay. And then finally, final inspiration. We believe that the Bible is the final and full authority of God to man. Joseph Smith, all these people add and all that kind of evil stuff. This is it. This book. God the Holy Spirit oversaw the writing, the preservation, and the accumulation of those books wanted and desired to be in the Word of God. And I put down here Jeremiah 1:9, the principle of Jeremiah 1:9. Then the Lord stretched out His hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, Behold, I have put my words into your mouth. This is the Holy Spirit introducing the principle of divine inspiration. Since God designed that His truth should be accurately expressed in human language, then there must have been the supervision of the very words used to accurately express the message He intended to convey. Now, I am sorry I did not put one more thing. I should have lowered the font size and given you one very important point. So on that piece of paper, write something to this effect. While believing in divine inspiration of all those five things we just noted, it does not guarantee that one will see the truth of Scripture. But it's your best start. There are people who believe in the divine inspiration of Scripture just as we have had it, inerrant, plenary, but they do not see the truth of the gospel. So I just want you to know that while this is essential, it is not a guarantee that someone will see the truth. But at least you want to start out with a pastor, Bible teacher, whoever you're going to listen to, that at least does believe that this is the divinely inspired, inerrant, infallible, plenary Word of God. But just remember, that will not guarantee that that person will see the truth. But it's a wonderful place to start. Okay, now let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13. Where we're looking at the phrase, yes. Well, because of the warfare, because he's going to express lies. And what he says is a lie, but it's accurately given. In other words, Satan said. Now, what Satan said is a lie, but it's accurate on what it is said that he said. That's the point there. Thank you. Okay, Roman numeral 3 now. What needs to be taught by the Holy Spirit? And why by the Holy Spirit? What needs to be taught by the Holy Spirit according to 1 Corinthians 2? And why by the Holy Spirit? Okay, answer, point one. Context of what needs to be revealed in 1 Corinthians 2. Subpoint one, Thanks freely given to us by God. Verse 12. 2. All that God has prepared for those who love Him. Verse 9. That is what needs to be revealed. Things that God has prepared. Things that God has given to us, freely given to us. So point two. Why must they be revealed to us? Why must we have them revealed? What must be revealed? Things freely given, all that God has prepared. Two, why must they be revealed? Okay, four things. One, because they are wisdom not known by human wisdom. Verse 5. They are from wisdom not known by the thinking or human wisdom. Thinking of man or human wisdom. Verse 5. 2. They are wisdom not of this age. Verse 6. 3. This is the wisdom of God in a mystery. Verse 7, a mystery. And then 4, they are hidden. Verse 7. Okay, I'll come to that. Sure will. Absolutely. So they are hidden. They are a mystery. They cannot be known by human wisdom. In other words, we would not know them. Point 3. Why must they be revealed by the Holy Spirit and only the Holy Spirit? So point one, context, what needs to be revealed? Things prepared for us, those who love Him, things freely given to us. Two, why must they be revealed to us? They're hidden, they're a mystery, and they're not known by our human wisdom. Three, why must they be revealed by the Holy Spirit and only by the Holy Spirit? Three little points. One, they are of God, and only the Holy Spirit knows the thoughts of God. Verses 10 and 11. They are of God, and only the Holy Spirit knows the thoughts of God. Two, this necessitates the Holy Spirit. Starting back in verses 4 and 5. We need the Holy Spirit. And three, so we're totally dependent upon the Holy Spirit to reveal these spiritual mysteries hidden. And it is supreme importance to know how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You're not filled with the Spirit because you confess, because you feel good, because you repent. No, we've got to know how so that we can tap into this power. Now, Roman numeral 4. What does the first spiritual refer to? The first spiritual. Now, if you look up here one more time, it's the same chart we just looked at. I'm looking at this one right here. Combining is the verb, spiritual with spiritual. We're looking, how are we going to understand that first spiritual? Okay, let's quickly go through some of our options. Spiritual thoughts, spiritual things, spiritual truths, spiritual words, spiritually given content. Okay, so there's these right here are what we're looking at. What is meant when it says spiritual thoughts? So let's see what we have going on in this. Okay, does this refer to spiritual thoughts, spiritual things, spiritual truth, or spiritual words? If we grasp what is being talked about, we're going to understand what Paul is saying. So our text would read, taught by the Spirit, look at verse 13, taught by the Spirit. That's in the, that was easy. Let's translate the verb revealing. Let's translate this verb up here with all these that we have. We have combining, comparing, expressing, communicating, teaching, explaining, interpreting. Let's translate it revealing. See how that's going to fit. Why revealing? Because they're hidden. And to me, it's very simple. I want what's hidden revealed, right? So I like the verb to reveal. Because they're hidden. They're secrets. and they must be revealed. So we have truth are taught by the Spirit, revealing spiritual things as God has prepared. Now, how are we going to understand? Let's take a look now. If we're on the right track here, we're going to translate this revealing. Now, we're going to translate this spiritual thoughts, spiritual things, spiritual truths. How are we going to do this? Here we have spiritual forms, things, spiritual, spiritual words, spiritual men. So how are we going to translate the second word? Here, I really like what Kittle has done. Pneumatikos is best taken personally as a dative of remote object, spiritual men, spiritual being. If you don't like the word men, spiritual being. And then Kittle offers one of the reasons, understanding it this way. This interpretation, if we translate it spiritual men, this interpretation has the advantage of fitting with verse 14. Look at verse 14. Let's see what we're doing now. Verse 14, but a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. So let's go back and see how this is going to work. Verse 13, which things we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but those taught by the Holy Spirit, revealing spiritual with spiritual being. Combining the spiritual with a spiritual being. In contrast, but a natural man, in contrast with that spiritual man, if we translate it spiritual man, a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit. They're foolishness to him. He cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. And we'll take a look at appraised in a little bit. But I personally believe this entire section of Scripture demands this understanding as spiritual being. Look, the whole thing he's talking about is you believers. Look at chapter 1, verse 2. Chapter 1, verse 2. To the church of God which is at Corinth, to those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus. Uh-oh, I start off separate from the world. Sanctified. Different from everyone else. Look at verse 5 in chapter 1. That in everything you were enriched in him in all speech and in all knowledge. Look at verse 10 of chapter 1. Now I exhort you, brethren, brethren, believers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree that there is no division among you, but you be made complete in the same mind, in the same Jesus, and in the same judgment discernment. Then throughout all of chapter 1, we're dealing with the wisdom of God versus the wisdom of the world. Look at verse 18 in chapter 1. For the word of the cross is to those who are perishing, that's one group of people, foolishness, and to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. You have two different people. Those that are foolish, those being saved. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will set aside. Where's the wise man? Where's the scribe? They can't understand these things. Where's the debate of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world, through its wisdom, did not come to know God, God was well pleased with the foolishness of the message preached, the gospel, to save those who believe. Look at verse 25. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Verse 27. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things that are strong. Then in chapter 2, he continues this contrast. Look at verse 6 of chapter 2. But we do speak wisdom among those who are mature. People, we're dealing with some advanced teaching here and understanding. That's why we're taking this time. Verse 9, those who love him. Verse 11, look back at verse 11. For who knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of man who is in him? Even so the thoughts of God, no one except the spirit of God. The natural man, in verse 11. Verse 14, look at verse 14 again, coming off of our study. But the natural man does not receive. And then look at chapter 3, verse 1. But brethren, I cannot speak to you as spiritual, but as men of flesh, natural, babes in Christ. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food. So I think the whole context deals with God has these spiritual things. Here is a spiritual creature. How is he going to get these things, reveal these things to this spiritual creature? Spiritual things, spiritual truths to spiritual creations. So I like what Kittle has done. If you prefer spiritual thoughts, that's fine. I'm just trying to show you from context why I believe, and if you look in the New American Standard, that's the way they have it in the margin. Spiritual men, spiritual beings. Okay, so, our translation, let's see here, verse 13. Let's take a look how we're going to understand all of this together now. Which things? Okay, I didn't put it on here, but what things here? Which things? Look back at verse 12. That we might know the things freely given to us by God. And we spent some time last week looking at a group of those. Which things? Things that God has prepared for those who love Him. For our glory. Freely given. Which things? Those things prepared by God and freely given. We also speak. Communicate. Not in words. That's concepts. Taught by human wisdom, but in those concepts taught by the Holy Spirit. How does the Holy Spirit teach these hidden secrets? Revealing spiritual things that God has prepared to spiritual beings. If you don't like the word, man, spiritual beings, of spiritual beings. Okay, now, when we get to, as we go through this, what's going on today? Because namely, contextually, deals with the apostles. But today, a man, first of all, God has given gifts. God has given some gifts of different types of gifts in the church. Helps. There's so many different gifts. We have a long study on gifts. But he gave to some the gift of a pastor teacher. It's a compound gift. Shepherd teacher. These men are gifted by God to study the Word and to teach the Word. One, another of the great problems today is the self-appointed Bible people. Oh, I can just study the Bible. I don't need to listen to anybody. And people, there's just so much false doctrine. There's enough false doctrine by men with a gift. Now you add everybody else adding. By the way, this is what I'm talking about right now, is one of the great problems in the Roman Catholic Church and why they do not like the Protestant movement. Of pastors and studying and teaching, because, and that's why they have sole authority in the Pope to kind of counter this type of thing. They're afraid that what happened has happened. But people, you cannot control that way. You cannot control grace. You cannot control grace. You got to let grace work. And but this is one of their. This is goes by this whole thing we're dealing with: inspiration, interpretation, teaching, all of these things. And how you understand what's going on in the Bible is so vital. Do you believe that God is just one man, the Pope, or other men, and his gifts, the Spirit? But people, you've got to be properly trained. A pastor has to be properly trained how to study the Word, how to be filled with the Spirit. First of all, his view of this book, how to be filled with the Spirit, that this is the divinely inspired, inerrant, infallible Word of God. How to study this book, how to understand this book, and then be diligent. And faithful in season and out of season in the study and teaching. What's in season and out of season? In season is when people are responding. Out of season, when hardly anyone cares. That's not his responsibility. His responsibility is to study and teach the truth. And be as adamant as he can, whether he has 5 or 5,000. Doesn't matter. He's got to be diligent in his study, depending on the Holy Spirit. People, when I sit down to study, every time, first thing I do, just spend time in prayer, checking myself with the Holy Spirit, trying to clear the board of any of my own thoughts, my own desires, my own prejudices, all of these things. Just let the Spirit open my eyes to what's going on in the truth. And people, that's difficult to do. The flesh wants to get in there. The flesh will, well, but I got to hold this. I got to do this. I got to do that. I've got to support tithing. I've got to support this. I've got to support confession. I got to. No. What does it say? What's going on in the text? And that's very difficult. Now, sometimes you find out you've been wrong. And boy, that hurts. And that's when you have to decide, am I going to stay with the truth here or continue the lie? So this becomes so powerfully important in our whole study. Now, verse 14. Now, let's read. Verse 13. We're almost through. Which things we also speak, not we communicate, the pastors, words, concepts, not in words taught by human wisdom, rhetoric. A lot of people are very impressed with their human ability to speak. But in those concepts taught by the Spirit, there's one of the functions of the Spirit, taught. How does He do that? Revealing spiritual things, hidden and mystery, to spiritual creation, spiritual being. Now in contrast, verse 14, we'll come to this next Sunday morning now. But a natural man, in contrast with the spiritual, at the end of verse 13, but the natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. He cannot understand them, because they are spiritually appraised and revealed. He can't do it. And that's why there's so much confusion in the world today in regard to truth. A confusion. They do not have the ability. And I'm talking about even believers that don't know how to be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit by faith in the Spirit. Just as we're saved by faith, we're filled with the Spirit by faith. Doesn't depend on us. Depends on God. And then the Holy Spirit starts opening up the truth of His Word. Okay? Any questions? All right, we'll resume at verse 14 next Sunday morning. Let's close in a word of prayer. Now, Father, in understanding the whole Bible, we're a crucial area in our study, even in understanding the truth of the gospel. Its place in our souls and our lives, the place of this book as the authority of our lives, the guide of our lives, superseding our own thoughts, superseding our own desires, our own customs, traditions, upbringings. Father, we just pray you continue to reveal the truth to us. We have no platform. We have no denominational platform. Our platform is your word. And we pray your Spirit will open our eyes to the things you would have us to see and to understand in truth. This book is so consistent, if correctly understood. Father, we thank you for the things we've seen this morning. Pray you'll take these things, cause them to become a reality to us in our lives. To this end, Father, we do humbly pray in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen.